This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
You're listening to Talking Heads with Naughty. Only on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM.
Talking Heads with Naughty is brought to you by Bahama South Island Promotion Board, Burger King, City of Hope, Fine Threads, John's Department Store, Click, KFC, Muffler World, Naughty Johnny's, Prince Masters, and Sandcastle Bahamas.
Is your business ready for the next big step? More inventory? New equipment? A larger space? At Fidelity, we offer commercial loans tailored to suit your business's needs. Inquire today. Call 356-7764. Fidelity.
You got it locked and loaded to the Monday. What's today's date? Boy, I tell you, I can't even tell you the date today. You got it locked and loaded to the Monday, July 21st edition of Talking Heads. Your boy Naughty and your company right up until 6 p.m. And we working through it. Zooming today, working through little kinks, but we'll make sure I get it all ironed out for you. And as you know, we got an open line Monday. We'll chime in with Roscoe Thompson on the flip side of the break, as we do each and every Monday. We'll find out about all things Abaco, and we'll talk, everything that's going on in the country, including the headlines with Roscoe. And like I said, if you want to chime in, it's real easy. Here's how. Text lines are open. All right, and text lines are open and powered by BTC, 42796. Phone lines open in New Providence, 323-6232, 325-4259, 325-4316. Toll free and anyone in the family out is 242-300-5720, 242-300-5720. Stream us live, take us wherever you want to go, guardiantalkradio.com. That's guardiantalkradio.com. That's how you get it in. That's how you get it on for fresh new smart talk all day right here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Now, we're going to take a quick break. Flip side of the break, we'll head straight down to Abaco. We'll jump on in with Roscoe Thompson. We'll find out everything that's going on in Abaco and discuss the headlines. And like I said, busy weekend, lots to talk about. And I got to put it out there. What's really going on? I need my COI friends to chime in and let me know how Miss Green's migraine is doing. I call him BS on that, right? Absolute BS. Then I need my friends from Freeport to call me. I don't care who you are, PLP, FNM, whoever. Let me know, did we have any government presence at that celebration key opening? I saw Shaq. I saw all kinds of other people, but I didn't see none of this photo op administration. They love photo op so much. I mean, they might have been there, but I didn't see none. So y'all need to help me out or not, and then we need to talk about a lot of other things, too. We got to talk about crime. That's going crazy. Cost of living still up the wazoo. And like I said, all things Abaco. So we got lots to talk about coming up on the flip side of the break, so all you got to do is keep it right where you got it. The Monday, July 22nd edition of Talking Heads continues right after this.
Some medical facilities pride themselves on offering Terrace Diagnostic Center. Imaging is what we do. Same goes for imaging at Grosvenor. Whether you need an x-ray, mammogram, CAT scan, or ultrasound, we have a team of board-certified radiologists on staff, on site, each with their own area of expertise. Results are submitted to your doctor within 24 hours. Call 328-8157 to schedule an appointment at 4th Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Grosvenor today.
Long day? Hungry crew? Say less and satisfy everyone with KFC's Summer Buckets. Grab a super summer bucket and get 8 juicy pieces of fried chicken, 8 nuggets, corn, our new white rice with gravy, 4 buttery biscuits, 4 switch of pink lemonades, and 4 dessert biscuits. So whether it's on the beach, at home, or chilling with the crew, KFC's Summer Buckets starting at just $20 bring all the flavor. Summer with KFC. It's finger licking good.
Craving something bold, fresh, and unforgettable? Tropical Gyros is your flavor-packed escape, a Carib-Greek fusion born right here in Nassau. From juicy grilled salmon, chicken, and pork gyros to loaded bowls, fresh salads, wings, and more, there's something for every craving. Find Tropical Gyros at any of their locations, JFK Plaza, Rosetta Street, Port Lucaya Freeport, or their franchise spots on Prince Charles Drive, Soldier Road West, Delaporte, and Carmichael Road. Tropical Gyros, not just good food, it's an experience.
Pop the top and collect, check your cap at 700, 200,000 in cash and prizes, with winners on different islands.
Collect!
Pop the top and collect, check your cap at 700, you could win free bears, take a sip, and collect merchandise, matter say, I pop mine out, free bears out, check your cap,
collect!
Pop the top and collect, check your cap at 700, you could win free bears, take a sip, and collect merchandise, matter say,
drink responsibly, boy.
John's Shoes and Accessories is your one-stop shop for all your footwear needs. You will find what you're looking for among the growing collection of classic and trendy styles with new arrivals every week. John's covers the whole family and has great prices, helpful and friendly customer service. Your experience shopping with us will be time well spent. Shop with us online at www.johnshoes.com. John's also now carries small home appliances. So come on into John's, located on Rosetta Street in Palmdale and Carmichael Road West. John's, we put fashion at your feet.
We're still here. Since 1941, the Armory Company has been your trusted partner and one-stop solution for all your business and technology needs. From printers to copier leasing, point of sale to cloud video surveillance, and access control to ATMs, we've got it all. And we ship to all family islands. Call our dedicated customer service team now at 397-16 Hosecki Street. An experience excellence that stands the test of time. The Armory Company. Your success is our business.
You're listening to Talking Heads with Naughty. Only on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM.
We're back at you on the Monday, July 21st edition of Talking Heads. Your boy Naughty and your company right up until 6 p.m. And right now, let's get into the buzz, all brought to you, of course, by John's Shoes. We're going to head right down to Abaco, touch base with Roscoe Thompson, as we do each and every Monday, find out everything that's going on in Abaco. And then, of course, we'll get caught up with the headlines and Roscoe's take on some things happening across the nation. So, Roscoe, what's good? You there, bro? What's happening, man?
Radio Naughty, how about you? Good afternoon, Bahamas. Enjoyed 2 weeks off with my mom being over here, so that was nice, and my brothers.
He's playing tourist, boy. When I saw that picture of you and Jason, and you and Jason especially, I say, boy, that's trouble right there. Dear God, that's trouble. Then I saw you, Jason, and Jeffrey, and I was like, my God, that's even more trouble.
The only person missing was you.
For real? And I was mad at that, too. I was like, man, MJ could have been on the shoreline. He could have been out on the boat catching some fish. Mommy, man. Next time, though, me and MJ coming for sure. But Roscoe, I know you're caught, brother.
No, we didn't get much fish. The weather wasn't too good to go out back. We got a couple hogfish and a bunch of conch. Took them diving to get some conch. It's just more family time. It's really
But
nice.
I know, I was just going to say, I know Auntie Joe was happy to have all three of her boys in front of her. At the same time.
Yeah, it was nice, man. It was very relaxing, and it got my mind off of a lot of things going on, you know, and it was good to, Aunt Charlotte came up, so it was good to have that family time, the only person, mom, but, you know, next is always the next time, but we had a great time, man. It was enjoyable. It was fun.
That's good. And Sana, you got some little R&R and some rest too, which you deserve.
Yeah. I'm now back into the, need a vacation from a vacation.
Yeah, you got to catch yourself now, the recovery stage. But listen, we got to talk about Abaco, Roscoe. We got a lot of things to get caught up on. First and foremost, I've had a lot of questions about the fires. Are you good with that, or are we still having incidences with?
Hey, all the fires are under control. The only one that isn't is this one that continues to burn at the Spring City laydown site underground. And I don't know what's going on with that. You know, I did it one time, post on Facebook about that, and, you know, the head of the DRM responded and, you know, basically said they're 85% demobilized, or, you know, from the dump site becoming demobilized. So, and that was it, but it's still a lot of burning, a lot of fumes going on there. But island-wide, I guess with all the rain and everything, the fires have pretty much been extinguished. We haven't had, you know, little pop-up here or there, but nothing major. More accidents recently, since people speeding, boating accident yesterday in, you know, Treasure Key, you know, two shark attacks in the last 2 weeks.
Wow.
You know, so, I mean, in that, so it's, you know, you give the breaks with a fire, but there's other things happening, you know, that happen in a daily, in, you know, in a, on a weekly basis or a daily basis, you know, as they say, life goes on, you know.
As far as the shark attacks, they were out there locally, Abaco Clinic, and treated and released, or?
One of them I know was from Green Turtle, was brought over and treated, you know, flown, you know, dealt with. I wasn't too sure about the one from Sandy, I think down off of Sandy Point. That was the most recent one. But again, like I tell people, this time of year, you know, you got to be careful when you're spearfishing, especially when you're up north or down south, just like everywhere, you know, it's a breeding ground for sharks, you know, and that's just a fact that they're there. We go into their water. You know, you just got to be vigilant in what you do.
I always tell people, you're going into their environment, so you got to get. They have home field advantage, and you got to play aware.
Yeah, very much so. Just kind of like when the Dallas Cowboys come into the Dolphin Stadium. You know, no, I ain't teasing you.
Yeah, but you know, you only lose once every 5 years.
I know.
That's a long shark attack there. But listen. Getting some text in right now. Is the barge still on the roof?
Yes. It's still there. You know, just as we still got some derelict boats that are on moorings from Dorian in the harbor that we can't. But yeah, the barge is still there. We have another barge down by Lynyard Quay that was never removed, which I was shocked to see the other day when I was down that way. You know, so it's just
frustrating. How long has that barge been down there, Rock?
That's been there a little while, a couple years. But it was out of mind because I don't go down that way much anymore, you know, and I just, when I was out fishing, I noticed it and I was like, wow, here it is. You know, you have a barge here and the barge on a reef and, you know, what's going on? Why? I guess just like everything in, I don't want to say in government, but in government, you know, everyone, or they wait.
Abaco, where barges go to make themselves national landmarks on the reefs, not once, but twice.
Yeah. You know, it's frustrating. You know, they become they can become navigational hazards, you know, too. Especially the one down by Lynyard Quay. You know, if you don't know that area and you're running up along the shore, hopefully you could see the barge coming out of the water, but that does not mean, you know, you can't miss it, because some people do miss entrances to harbors and run up on, you know, canals and breakwaters and things like that.
I mean, we really need to figure that out, Roscoe, because we've been talking about these barges for a little while. We've also been talking about the shantytown debris, and I wanted to touch on that.
Nothing. It's still there.
But what the ironic thing about it is, you have people getting up in the house, waxing poetic about the works of Mr. Clay Sweeten, Minister of Works. Then you have the Minister of National Security getting up, talking about the FNM didn't demolish any shanty towns, when you and I both know there was a court order preventing them from doing it.
Yeah, I when I heard that and I saw that, I was like, you know, how can you sit here in good sense and say you were the one that, when you were the leader of the opposition, that had this injunction put against the PLP push for it, you know, and an injunction, as soon as you win election, the same judge overturns the injunction. I kind of find that a little, how do I say it in a nice way?
Strange.
Beg your pardon?
Strange.
Yeah, I just find it, you know, it's not right. You know, was some skullduggery. I mean, what more can I say? And this is where you have to question some of the decisions made. And then, of course, they get the injunction lifted. They knock down the Gaza over here, but then they leave all the debris. But then on the left side of the road, when you go out there, you got more houses popping up than you've ever seen in your life, you know?
That was my next question. And a lot of people here in New Providence want to know, what's the deal? Because they've heard rumors. And these are Abaconians trying to get back. And somebody talked to me the other day, and they said, Naughty, I've heard that there's three shantytowns springing up in Abaco since they demolished the shantytown that you and Roscoe talked about. Second of all, the debris has still been left there, correct?
Yeah, it's
turned
a dump
into
site
a dump.
Now.
And now those people, I've heard those people that were removed from those shantytowns are now coming back to the dump, either dumping and taking things off to build the new shantytowns.
Well, they're removing some of the stuff, but most of the stuff people are dumping. The problem is even up at our dump site where everything is, they know when the barges come in with all the lumber and debris from the Keys, and they go up there. And of course, we have no security up there to oversee the dump. So people could come up there and take whatever they want off the dump site. And then you end up popping up in the bush. You have, like I said, on the left side of SC Boodle, you have Naughty, do not get me wrong. Some of those houses are unbelievable, are beautiful houses. You know, I mean, they're nicer than some Bahamian houses that I've seen. Again, you know, how is this happening? I mean, do they own this land? Who are they leasing it from? Is it crown land? Is some of it agricultural land? Because there was a thing going around a little while ago, some of it was agricultural land. Well, you know, if it's agricultural land, you can't sublease farmland. You're not supposed to put permanent buildings on agricultural land. So, I mean, there's a lot of questions that need to be answered. And it seems that, you know, this administration avoids any questions, you know, so they don't have to be forthright with the Bahamian people.
Another big question and concern is due to the illegal migrant situation down there. A lot of questions about that. We've been hearing a lot of numbers on this side. Roscoe, how is it down there? Are Bahamians outnumbered in Abaco?
Naughty, you've been through this. I would say, yeah, right.
I have to ask Roscoe because it keeps coming up. People, I don't think people could wrap their mind around what's going on down there.
I think I would say it's 50-50, maybe 55-45 Bahamian to Haitian. It could be vice versa, but there is a big it's a big immigration issue here, illegal immigration. People here that are here legally, but actually legal immigration. And you
because
know,
I've had some people reach out to me that said, Naughty, you know, I am of Haitian parentage, but I was born in the Bahamas. I'm 30 something and I'm from Abaco and I can't get my papers.
Yeah, you have a lot of them like that. You have a lot of that generation that are trying to do it and go about it the right way, and they cannot get their documentation. But then you see people coming that you've never seen before on the island that, you know, they got documents. How did they get them? You know, how did they get here so quick? I mean, I understand. You know, we do have legal immigration, but there's also a lot of illegals over here, too.
And I think people are starting to see it. Not just in Abaco, but throughout the whole archipelago. And it's becoming a concern. And I mean, immigration is obviously a concern of all Bahamians and all islands.
And it should be, because, you know, it's something that's happening, not just here in Abaco, but Nassau, Luthra, Exuma, you know, maybe the only place is Long Island that it isn't happening, but you know, when you look at it, it's a big issue that's happening, and it continues to happen under successive governments. You know, it doesn't matter which government it was. It was happening. Well, Minas had a little bit of an issue with, you know, Dorian and the pandemic and everything. So, I mean, I don't want to kind of knock that, but you know, from Perry Christie to Hubert Ingram, it's just continuing to escalate, and it's just out of hand. I mean, it's not right. When you go into the food store, you know, you most of them you hear are speaking Creole, you know, or from Creole backgrounds, which is nothing wrong because a lot of them are born here, but they just don't have documentation. But you also have your group that are being hired by Indians and by locals, and because they're cheaper labor, you know. And if it's my person, it's okay. But if it's yours, I have a problem with it.
Yes, and we've been going through that for far too long, Ross. That's the problem.
You know, Naughty, before we go on to anything, I'd like to touch on a couple things because we haven't been on the air. But, you know, Yellowwood and Cherokee, which is part of Central Abaco, been plagued with a water issue. When DeSavory developed Winding Bay many years ago, and the heads of agreement is they're supposed to supply water to Yellowwood and Cherokee. And over the last couple of months, Cherokee and Yellowwood have been suffering, with not having water, or there's issues, you know, they're not getting the water there. And I just want that to be brought to the public's attention, you know, especially to any of the general managers or ministers that it's in their portfolio that might be listening. That's something that needs to be addressed up here. It is not right for community to be deprived of water. These are working Bahamians. Water and sewage needs to step in, if that's the case, and find an alternative means to get water to these people. They've been trucking water down there for the past couple of weeks, to try keep it going. And it's not right. So I do want to say that, because that is something new that has been on Facebook in recent, the last week or two, is about the water situation in Cherokee and Yellowwood. And it's not fair to the Bahamian residents.
I mean, we're not a lot. It's Abaco now, but we've heard that regularly from Exuma and from Eleuthero. So, I mean, what's the infrastructure like in the Family Islands, really? Is it all that to be bragged upon, like how this administration is bragging, or is there a lot to be desired? It sounds like there's a lot to be desired.
A lot needs to be fixed. I mean, there's still a lot that needs to be done over here from Dorian, but I mean, you can't have a private company like a Winding Bay, even though they might employ a lot of Bahamians, but I mean, you know as well as I do, who you're going to take care of first, your guest or the residents in Cherokee. So the question comes, shouldn't they be made to upgrade their system to produce enough water to suffice both the guest and the residents, because that's part of the agreement? Or water and sewage needs to step in as a corporation and find alternative means for this area to get it. And it's not just Cherokee. We find we have low water pressure in Marsh Harbor in certain areas. Just like Nassau, electricity issues, they finally got that somewhat rectified right now. We haven't had power outage in 2 days, which is, knock on wood, is something good. But there's a lot of infrastructural needs. Our port has yet to be dealt with or touched, where all the boats come in and everything like that, all our major shipping. So there's still a lot over here that needs attention, and our drains, think about that. I do have to send the ping locations to the minister so we could get our drains clean. But that's something here as something very simple.
My question regarding your minister, I think is Mr. Pender from, I think it was North Abaco.
No, that's Kirk Cornish is North Abaco.
North Abaco. So Mr. Pender is what, South Central?
Central South Abaco, yeah.
I heard him in the House talk about the maritime situation with the yachts and the marinas, and saying charters were up. But how could charters be up if the majority of the market is working down south? Like Bahamian captains are working in the south. The VAT and the 14%. It's kind of crushed the industry.
Well, hey.
So how can I hear reports from captains that the industry is in peril, and this minister jumping up saying everything is copacetic?
But as the high jump that they increased, I think they could have done it in an increment, or did, instead of doing it so high. Now, don't get me wrong. We will not have anything to compare until a year from now we can then look back and say, okay, well, yay, y'all were wrong. But you also gonna get some backlash on this. I mean, that's just a fact. I mean, it's gonna hinder us to a certain extent. I don't, for example, they have a mooring fee on the new bill, whatever it is. Okay, well, what if you're coming to a marina? You know, you're not going to a mooring. Why are you paying a mooring fee? Okay, you're coming in to just not even fish. I understand getting a fishing license if you're going to fish, but what if you're just here vacationing, which might not include fishing? You know, some people come here that aren't sport fishers or charters.
They're just like the crew of the archipelago, literally crews.
Right. You know, so I think there's some questions. And, you know, I'm not saying that we should not have increased or done an increase. I just think that it went a little extravagant. It should have been, you know, maybe instead of $800 as an example, it should have been $350, you know, or $400, you know, or whatever.
I think the jump was a little bit exorbitant.
Right. Correct. You know, Abaco, I think in time we will see, will it affect the second homeowners? And there you go again. You have a second homeowner that owns property here. They have to pay to just put their boat at their dock. You know, they got to get a cruising permit if they're coming, even though they've invested in a $1 million house, you know. So, I mean, I haven't seen a decline yet. I think you'll have a better judge in 6 months, 8 months, when you can look at it and say, hey, let's compare the numbers. But is it going to affect the Bahamas in general? I do think so. I think it went. It was too high. It was too exorbitant. It went up too quick, you know.
I think it was the increase was way too fast, Roscoe.
Yeah, I mean that's what I look at it, and as Peter Morey has said on numerous occasions, you know, look at what you're charging the people, you know, and I gave an example, the mooring fee. How many boats are coming in here and mooring? You know, I mean, in all honesty, most of them are coming to marinas. How is that going to affect our charter boats? Like, you know, an example, there might be a company, let's say Bahama Yacht Charters, that have over 50-foot boats. What's that going to affect them and their charters that employ Bahamian captains? Not saying that it will have an impact, but we won't be able to see that until further down the line. For any MP or any minister to get up and say, yeah, this was a good thing, to a certain point, yes, it might have been a good thing, but as we just discussed, I don't think it should have been so exorbitant right off the bat.
Yeah, I think that's what a lot of people were hit back, especially the boaters, especially the captains, that it was so exorbitant and such a whap, you know what I mean? Such a jump. And you really can't increase it now. I mean, I understand you need to set the price point, you know, in the market of what the taxation is going to be. But I'm with you. They should have done it incrementally. So yeah, People would have had time to build to it and understand it and know it and make their plans accordingly.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. Anybody that, you know, has a $500,000 boat, I'm not saying that they can't afford it or they, you know, but there are some people that just come on vacation, you know, that aren't wealthy as other people. But I mean, when you break it down and you look if they're coming for 2 weeks or whatever it is, it's not bad when you look at the daily thing. I just think it was a shock to a lot of people. You know, people always knock our sailboaters, you know, and all that, oh, they don't spend money here in the Bahamas. But in actuality, they do. They might not come off the boat as much as a yacht, but, you know, they'll go to the grocery store, cabs, they'll, you know, go to Snappers or Colors or different. And it's a trickle-down effect. So, and I try to be honest about this and keep it in perspective. We will not be able to judge this until next year, July, and we see our numbers. If they've decreased, you know that the government made a mistake. Because to me, I believe that more boats are going to head south where they don't.
Correct.
They got $1 million boat or $10 million boat. Some people will say, oh, well, that's a couple dollars to them. But here we go again. The click to clear doesn't even work properly. So
correct. That doesn't work. I've heard complaints about that not functioning.
Yeah. So why are you going to come to a country that puts so much red tape when you could go, you know, a little further south and not have the red tape that's in place? I could see if you had a functioning click to clear and something that was working properly. But from what I gather to this day, they have more problems with the click to clear people registering to come out. You have to print it out, fill it in, you know, and then pay when you come into West End or your first port entry.
Yeah, there's a lot of red tape with that. We got a call on the line. Let's get to the phones. Talking Heads.
Hey, what's happening, Naughty?
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, Rusko, my brother, all is well. You know, I think, Rusko, I think I disagree with you on this one when you said we'll have to wait and see until next year to see how the fees affect the boat market. I think we're actually seeing it now. You know, when you start to look at the marinas around the Bahamas, in particular in Grand Key and Walker's Key, it's been a major fall off of boaters who would usually come here to fish. You know what I mean? Walker's Key, just they trying to get up and running, and they just their boaters just took a nose dive since January from July. You know, and I believe that this administration, I think, I don't know if they get seasick. I don't know if someone had a bad experience with boating or something, because when you look at all the levies and fees that they have levies on the back, and not just the tourists. You know, when they first came and they put this boat registration fees on top of the Eamon back, you know what I mean? Boat registration went from $100 to $750. First time boaters, $1,000, $1,500. You know what I mean? In order for you to pull your boat out of the water to drive it on the trailer, you have to fly to Nassau, take this course, get the special driver's license. It's just being one tax after the next tax in terms of the boaters.
It's crazy, man, and considering how many Bahamians rely on boats to make their living, either fishing or tour companies or whatnot, I've often wondered if some of these exorbitant fees isn't to drive some people out of the market, so other people can get in and monopolize it.
Well, it's not just living. When you take an island like Grand Key, you take an island like Sweetens Key, these people use boat for their way of life. This is their transportation to and from the mainland. This is how they get their groceries. This is how they get their water. That's how they get their kids to school. If someone gets sick, they got to put them in the water, then put them in the boat to get them to the mainland, to get them to the hospital. You see what I'm saying? So how do you expect people now to get to have some kind of a way of life when you put these crazy fees on top of them?
And you said it went from like 100 and something about to 750?
And then the sad part about it, you would understand if they would see if you would see it. There's still no channel markers. There's still no market light on the buoys. What you doing with this money?
Well, I'm hearing it's going through the entire archipelago. That they have issues with that in Exuma as well. On a project that should have been stopped, that I hear is continuing to go on. Moorings being put up with no lights in boating lanes. So we're going to have a lot of problems ahead if we don't get a grip on this thing now.
Even in terms of fuel. Vessels now have to pay a 6 cents tax on diesel fuel. 6 cents. So that means these are freight ships that come to the Bahamas that sometimes get fuel in the Bahamas. They now have to pay 6 cents per gallon in additional taxes. You see what I'm saying? So these people are taxing the maritime industry straight across the board. That's why I said someone in this administration had a bad experience with a boat. Why are they trying to kill the maritime industry?
Or maybe someone in this administration wants to corner the market, allegedly.
Boy.
If you drive everyone out and only you one left to play the game, then you control the field and you control the day.
You know, I just hope and pray that we as PMS, we go there and we register. And let's see how far as we can get this administration or the government. Because so this right now, they don't mean us in the boat industry. Based on the taxes, what they have already put on us. I'll hang up and continue to listen.
All right, man. Be safe and continue to call in. Good points as always. Roscoe, got any comments on that?
Hey, I heard, and I agree with him. I know that we had a meeting on Friday, and I think it's Adolfo. Adolfo is, they're over here now doing, I guess they got a contract with the government. I don't know what it is, but they've done Marsh Harbor. They've done Hopetown. They put buoys down and lights. But again, in some other areas too, I think Andros, Eleuthera, but again, it's one company, you know.
Is this a Bahamian company?
Yeah, it's a Bahamian company.
Good.
But again, my point being is you know, I don't know how to say that. The government has to be accountable for what they're doing. If they're doing one thing in Abaco, they need to do it for all the islands. At Grand Key, Moores Island, Hopetown, Guanaki, you know, Exuma, Eleuthera, Sweetings Key, you know, Grand Key, Walker's Key. You know, it's things that need to be done, you know, throughout the archipelago. You know, you're giving somebody a contract for whatever it is. I don't know the exact amount, but it shouldn't be one zone, another zone, this zone. If they're getting paid to do X amount of dollars, it's coming from the taxpayer, you should be trying to do as much as you can throughout. Why are you piecemealing it? Especially when it comes to lights and markers and buoys to notify people of entrance to harbors, or lights on land to mark an island in the middle that people might not be aware of. I know we all have GPS and that nowadays, but still, you'd be surprised how many people hit rocks and run a boat into a bulkhead, or, you know, miss a channel marker because it's not lit up.
And we've heard stories over the years of people doing this, running aground, wrecking the boats because of that. So obviously we need to stay on top of it.
Yeah, it's
be proactive rather than reactive. And if you give a company a contract and make sure that they're able to handle multiple islands. Because if the work is uniform and it's kind of the same thing, then you shouldn't need to have this company for this company for this island. Somebody should get the contract and do the job.
Correct. I mean, and in all honesty, and that's why I say, you said it earlier, are they trying to corner the market for one company? And again, if you have a company in Nassau, shouldn't Nassau deal with, you know, the harbor in Nassau, the eastern end of the harbor, Porgy Rock, you know, whatever it may be. You subcontract out to another company, or give the contract to another company in Abaco. You know, it employs another Bahamian, you know, gives another opportunity for Bahamians to get involved in that field. You know, so, I mean, it's being diverse. I mean, just think, if you only had one marina in Nassau, would that be right? No, you have Sterling Montage, you have Atlantis, you have Bayshore Marina, you have, you know, or, you know, different things. So, I mean, it brings into question, are certain people trying to monopolize
those marinas,
a sector like let's use our power grid, you know. One person's getting the monopoly on power. You know, should it be that way?
No, but people got to speak up and realize that it is 2025, and we can't see, you know, certain names and certain families control the generational wealth around here. And if they're going to be given these entities and afforded these opportunities, then we, the Bahamians, need the service on the other end, the breakdown. We need the good quality power provision.
Yeah.
We need proper infrastructure. We need all of that stuff.
Yeah, I mean,
if people are serious about the boating industry, then they need to really look at those fees and tariffs and taxes.
Here's an example. Let's just look at the new boating, the new maritime law. Royal Bahamas Police Force or Defense Force will collect garbage and...
Yeah, and I used to all of that.
Now, hold on, Nori. Let's look at this. The Royal Bahamas Defense Force can't even keep their boats running properly, or the government of the Bahamas cannot keep our boats right. You really think that they're going to be able to offer a service to get X, Y, and Z off of a boat? Why not give that to and I just use, why not give that to an Inuga, a Naughty or a Mary Jane or anybody, so where they could go in the and pick up the garbage and pump off like they do in the States. You know, you're going to use the Royal Bahamas Defense Force boats to do this, and they can't even keep their boats running.
And in the spare time, they're supposed to lay moorings as well, too.
But
buoys as well.
And here's the catch.
And patrol waters.
At the taxpayer's expense.
Correct. So what we should be getting is neglected, so these can perform, you know, duties outside of their normal duties.
Correct. I just think there's a lot, you know, and listen, I don't know much about maritime, but I will say I've been very fortunate to speak to a few people in the maritime business and that owns marinas and that have really looked at this. And, you know, it's really eye-opening when you see what this administration is trying to do. And I just think aren't we trying to empower Bahamians? Why is the government trying to seek control and give to X, Y, and Z? And it doesn't matter which government it is. I think it should be a fair level playing field for everybody. You know, if Roscoe Thompson wants to have a boat that goes and collects garbage and pumps their raw sewage off their boat, it's a fair competitive market once he has a proper. And again, I will use Abaco and Marsh Harbor for example. We have no treatment facility over here. At least Nassau, you could go and pump it into a sewage treatment. When you go and get your septic tank pumped or you get X, Y, and Z pumped at your house on your property, they go and put it in the bush somewhere, and then people start growing bananas and farm. I mean, I'm just naughty. It happens.
That's how it does. Let's get to the phone lines. We got another call. Let's try to get that with him before we wrap up. Talking Heads. Talking Heads.
Yes, sir. This government is only for a few. They're not for everybody. Don't mind them going in the house and beating themselves on the back. Inside of their house, they say something. And outside of the house, they do something different. They are not for Bahamians. Don't mind them.
All right, Carter, thanks. Good points. I mean, and I've been hearing them sentiments a lot lately, Roscoe. I'm sure you have, too.
Yeah, Naughty, I've heard a lot of people are fed up, you know. A lot of people are upset. A lot of people are angry. I mean, a lot of the burden is put on the back of the Bahamian people, and a lot of people are talking about that. I mean, it's not something that we can avoid. But here's a question that a lot of Bahamians don't ask. What happens between 2026 and 2030 when a lot of our debts are, you know, a lot of our loans are due? Where are we going to find the money to pay, you know, are we going to continue to borrow
money? Better not be taxing the people. Can't do that no more.
No, but I mean, that's my point, is where do you start generating the money? And don't get me wrong, I think that there has to be accountability and transparency. If the government wants everybody to have a TCC and a business license, then don't you think the government should be forthright on exactly what they're spending our money on? So why should we be, you know, made to come in line with all the laws, but then you have central government still breaking the laws? It's mind-boggling.
Well, Roscoe, it's that time. Mr. Producer's giving me the sign. I appreciate all your input, as all about. It seems like, you know, we take one step forward every week in Abaco, and then we take two steps back, or three, and we still see that stuff is still not done.
I think it's throughout the whole Bahamas. You know?
I think so, too, but I'm thinking this administration needs to realize, you know, to get Abaco and Grand Bahama back in the game, because when things are things, you two, Abaco and Grand Bahama, are two of the biggest contributors to the bottom line, and that makes the whole thing go.
It makes it a lot easier, you know, it makes things a lot easier if you have money being generated, you know, and you have more tourism coming in. Our tourism and our relying over here in Abaco is not cruise ship passengers. Ours are return visitors, second homeowners, and repeat customers or new customers coming. Not the ones that just go to Coco Key or, you know, Gorda Key or, well, Castaway Key, because some people might not know what Gorda Key is. But we have people that are spending good money here, You know, so if that money is being generated, shouldn't it be put back into there? It shouldn't you have driving to Winding Bay or to Cherokee with potholes in the road or, you know, subdivisions that haven't been paved in 25 years. That money should be going back into the community or your drains being cleaned.
Most definitely. Good stuff, Roscoe. I appreciate you. We'll do it again next Monday, but we write it 10 minutes, man. Everybody who texted in, I'll get to your text in the 5 o'clock. We'll go over a little bit. I knew Roscoe will be gone, but Pearlie will chime in. We'll touch base on some of these texts, and we'll talk sports coming up in the 5 o'clock hour as the Monday, July 21st edition of Talking Heads continues right after this.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.
Craving something bold, fresh, and unforgettable? Tropical Gyros is your flavor-packed escape, a Carib-Greek fusion born right here in Nassau. From juicy grilled salmon, chicken, and pork gyros to loaded bowls, fresh salads, wings, and more. There's something for every craving. Find Tropical Gyros at any of their locations, JFK Plaza, Rosetta Street, Port Lucaya Freeport, or their franchise spots on Prince Charles Drive, Soldier Road West, Delaporte, and Carmichael Road. Tropical Gyros, not just good food, it's an experience.
Naughty Johnny's restaurant can only be described as the experience you want to recreate again and again and again. Their motto is simple food done well. You're welcome into their home at Naughty Johnny's where you can dine on crack conch fritters, and other Bahamian favorites. There's also an opportunity to offer something for everyone. Enjoy a good meal and listen to live band on their patio Friday and Saturday nights, or brunch on Saturday and Sunday, only at Naughty Johnny's restaurant in the Old Town Plaza, Old Fort. They're open 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. Monday through Thursday, 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. Friday, 10 a.m. to 11 p.m. on Saturday, and 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. on Sunday. Naughty Johnny's. Well, what did
you try to rest? Roll with the best. For all your printing needs, there ain't no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers. For window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it. Just give us a call. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located at the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Cancer Treatment Centers of America is now City of Hope, creating one of the leading cancer care and research networks from coast to coast, providing more of what you need. More locations means more care closer to home. More specialists means more expertise. More research means more breakthroughs. More advancements means more treatment options. And more options means more hope. Learn more at cancercenter.com.
Hear that? That's not just a crunch. It's the sound of flavor turning up. Introducing the Doritos Kentucky Chicken Sandwich, a delicious combination of KFC's juicy original recipe extra large filet, stacked with real Doritos nacho cheese chips for a loud, cheesy crunch in every bite. It's bold, it's crunchy, and it's open. Everyone's chasing the crunch. Don't be the one who missed it. KFC and Doritos, a crunch that's finger-licking good.
You're listening to Talking Heads with Naughty. Only on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM.
We're back at you on the Monday, July 21st edition of Talking Heads. Your boy, Naughty and your company, right up until 6 p.m. And, you know, right about now, we need to do it. We do each and every time we get into 5 o'clock, I got some texts I need to deal with, obviously. And then, of course, after that, we'll get into some sports. But continuing with the text from earlier, because I got them, and I appreciate everybody texting in, too. Let's get to some of these. Naughty Roscoe, sadly, the Haitian population is expanding on Cat Island also. Cat Island, what you expect? You forget what the prime minister said on the campaign trail. I am you and you are me. Mm-hmm. And we are all Bahamians of Haitian descent. Yeah. Good afternoon, Naughty. I wish someone from the Ministry of Foreign Affairs would call into the show and tell us, how do they verify the criminal history of visa applicants from a gang-riddled, destabilized Haiti? Good afternoon, Naughty. Great show as usual. I was recently saddened by the passing of diplomat and foreign affairs diplomat Missouri Sherman Peters. I hope the government gives her roses at some point. Obviously, you know, she was a career politician and spent her life in the ministry. This country, she gave her whole life to this country. She should be sent off with the rightful protocols of that ministry. Yes, I think she should have a state funeral as well. All right, Mrs. Sherman Peters was a great lady as far as being a diplomat in foreign affairs. She was dear friends of my late mother, Marlene. So, you know, I know what a great woman she was. And yeah, she definitely needs the full, I think, military service. State funeral, yes, I think so, definitely. For the service that lady put in for this country, definitely. Naughty, good afternoon. This acre of land that Mr. Bain from the CDR, no, it's COI, not CDR, is given away, is that island to island, or is the land coming from, where is the land coming from? You know, everybody want land on Nassau, Exuma and Freeport and Eleuthera. Those other islands don't have any value. While 95% wanted to be in Nassau. I get your point there, Tex. It was a little rambling, but I get it. Good afternoon, Naughty. The Minister of Freeport was there. She said that it is one of the biggest projects the PRP brought there. Naughty, if I could remember, that was introduced under the Minnis administration, just like the Nassau cruise port, but they brought... that was it introduced under the last administration. It was. And if Miss Moxie was there, then I think she might have been the only one from this administration was there. But I wish there was more pictures and more pomp and circumstance. This administration is known as the photo op administration. They should have definitely had better, you know? Sheesh. But anyway, let's slide up into sports now like we do in the 5 o'clock hour. Pearlie will be joining us in short order. So once Pearlie chimes in, we'll be talking sports with Pearlie, you know? And I'm sure Pearlie got lots to say with the Dodgers doing what the Dodgers do. He's becoming that guy. He's becoming that guy, folks. Yeah, he is. He's becoming that guy all over again. Let's get back to the text lines. Naughty, speaking of crimes on a wider scale, crimes against humanity is the worst on my list. We know what the basis, you know what the basis did. I'm talking about post-World War II crimes against humanity. Good afternoon, Naughty. Just had a scary thought. What if the Bahamas was already sold and that we are the generations that left holding the bag and the political class are preparing to fly out for good come 2030? That is a scary thought. Let's get to the phone lines. Talking Heads. Talking
Naughty,
Heads.
Naughty, how you doing?
Afternoon.
All right, how you doing, Naughty?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm okay. If the flight, did they cancel the flights coming out of Haiti? Or the Bahamas are still going in there?
My brother, I was asking that question from last week when I saw that the Ministry of Foreign Affairs had put out the travel alert and travel advisories not to go to Haiti. I'm thinking that should have been a no-brainer. That flight should have been shut down, you know?
Now, the reason why I said that, if they had said they had canceled the flight from going into Haiti, then what about the numbers that they say came here for tourism to the Bahamas? Bahamas here, coming from Haiti to the Bahamas. If that's the case, and you're canceling the flight, where are the Haitians going to go? On their visit as a tourist into the Bahamas, where are they going to go? If you're not going to go back into Haiti, that means they're going to remain here, right?
Correct. If the flight doesn't return down there and it's been canceled, and we don't know if it's been canceled because there was no public announcement made one way or another. Point, right. If there's no return flight, where are those folks going to stay? Where are they going to be housed?
When I call you in the show, that they see how powerful your show is, where the numbers is now. That means they already have the set numbers who reach in the Bahamas. Who they know they ain't going to return? Who they know they ain't going to return? So they already gathered their numbers. If the flight, where are these people going to go? They're not staying in the hotel, like I tell you. They're not paying any, we don't have the numbers on them saying they're staying in bed and breakfast or they're staying in the hotel. Where are they
staying in a particular hotel? No, we don't see that.
You see what I say? So that means they already gathered the numbers what they needed, that they may have said that they wanted in the Bahamas. And if these people are not going to go back, your flight are not going to go back in the Haiti, where are these people going to go if they're only on a time limit from Haiti to the Bahamas as tourists?
My brother, you and I both know if they can't get back to Haiti, they're going to remain here until they can get elsewhere.
We can see the upscale. Because remember, they only were saying the flights coming through. We can see the upscale now. We can know the flight sites. And we hear them say boats being coming in now, and they have to introduce boats. Because remember now, the pay on one of them boats is $5,000 to come to the Bahamas. If you're
correct. I hear it's very lucrative in human smuggling.
They switched the program. Because if I'm a Haitian, and I say born and grown now, so when I wanted my family to come and I'm making money, all I have to do is send it to the money, money ground thing, and buy the ticket. The ticket might only be $300 or $400. You see that? You see how much that is from $5,000?
Correct.
So that means more will be coming in, because the people who facilitating them coming, who working here, buying the ticket for them to come. Because they can't say they buying ticket in Haiti where they say the economy is down and the place is just in a chaos. So where they find this money to buy the ticket to come to Nassau? That facilitated through the money, the telegram here, people who working here, sending them the money, $300 to come. Let's say it's even $700 to come on the plane. That still beat the wasted $5,000 coming on the boat.
Hello.
You see what I'm saying? So the effort and message should be to the PLP. But all this ready to show me the numbers. That's what they could beat the PLP on. Show me the numbers. Show me the numbers in your the properties you're about to confiscate in the king's name, the buildings, low cost and home. Show me the numbers that came out of Haiti as tourists. Show me the numbers where they're staying. And if they can't explain the numbers, that means whatever's being said about them saying, you know, you are me and I is you. That means they already arrived. They don't need to worry about it now. It's just a matter of calling the election because the people don't arrive. Like they said, they're coming in with all the relevant documents.
And we have to be vigilant like that. Not only could our rights in our country be taken from us like that and right under our noses, our voting process should not be corrupted.
And this is why I'm saying that. Not even my comment after listening and hearing the whole thing about where is the boss running. This is my first comment on that. I have no problem with him running, no problem with the government saying he can do whatever the situation is. But you know why I say I advise it to happen? Because he was a bait being pushed forward. If he get in, what stop the other rest of the number man them want run and to get in? What's stopping them from running to get it? I'm joining other political parties in them. If you got seven number men there with money in their pockets, what's stopping them from running and trying to get on a ticket? Then we allow the House Assembly being and the integrity of it being controlled by gamblers as politicians.
That a lot of people having that same conversation.
You know, man, I have nothing of them trying to run, but it will put a big integrity on the House. Because if he get in, what top the nigga? I mean, the gentleman from Shaw, from Island, from Paradise Games, from them
right.
To say, if he get in, then I need to go run too. Can't
Paul, you making
play,
some? You making some great points.
Can I open that box?
Good call, man.
The persons who really want to serve the country might not have the financial money like them, but they could buy out a community. This kind of time and people hurting. What need fridge stove and listen? I wouldn't say they can sell the integrity to a rich man. But
Paul, you making good points. I got to get to some other calls.
All right.
You making excellent points. Don't be no stranger now. Good stuff. Mr. Producer, please let Pearly in. Pearly been trying to get in for the longest. For God's sake, let Pearly in. Let Pearly in. Dodgers must see one. Pearly won't run his mouth now by the Dodgers. So please, let Pearly in. Okay? Yeah, Pearly. We know if you don't let you in, you gone. Well, obviously, if you can't get in, if I couldn't get in, I would go too. So, you know, that's the smart thing to do. And if you catch on fire, you should drop and roll, pearly roll. That's what you should do also.
Right.
Anyway, boy, look here. Your screenshot is almost as ugly as you are in person, especially in that Dodger shirt.
Yeah. But you know something? Good thing you're the only one saying that. A lot of people think that's a good-looking picture, dude.
Well, hey, a lot of people need an optometrist, if that's the case.
Not 7-year-old Taylor Thompson. Papa, that's a nice shot, Papa.
He won't hurt your feelings, Pearly. I like Taylor for that. He's a smart dude. That's why he's the future.
No, that is. He's 7.
Gift of gab at 7. His parents doing a great job.
Oh, actually, he's got a foot. Oh, that kid can play for soccer.
Don't worry. When he get older, if you don't give him what he needs, he can put that foot somewhere else and not in the grass either.
Oh, he can be scoring goals.
And he's playing up, right? He's playing above his age group, correct?
He's playing 9U and sometimes 11U.
Good stuff, man. Glad to see him doing well and know that he's doing well.
Yeah, and he's been doing a pretty good program this summer with Jared Higgs in his program. So I'm pretty happy.
Good stuff. I'm glad he's getting a good summer opportunity. And the good thing about those camps, when they get home, they tie it. They go straight to sleep.
Boy. That's hot boy.
Oh, he's one of those rare breeds. Okay,
tired.
The force is strong with him.
He play all day.
All right, Pearly, well, we got a couple of things we got to touch base on, and then we'll get into the sports. But I know a hot topic, man. What's your take on it, man? A lot of, just had to call and ask. I mean, have you heard anything about that flight being officially canceled to Haiti that goes 3 times a week?
They were supposed to. I think they said they were supposed to. But either reduce it. I don't know if it's canceled it all right. I think they were going to reduce it.
If you're putting out a national travel advisory, do not visit Haiti, then why are we having that flight come 3 times a week?
Na-na-na-na, hey.
I'm just saying things ain't things, and everybody you look, everybody seems to have the immigration issue going on.
Yeah, it's interesting, you know. I mean, I don't know, man. It's kind of
scary. That's the hot topic right there, bro. Immigration is the issue in this country.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it is. You know, I said on the show earlier, I spoke to a doctor, and he said he saw 9 kids in his clinic on Friday. 10. And 9 was outright kids from the South. And the other one, last name was of a kid from the South, had a Bahamian parent, but the other one was from the South.
Wow. And I'm hearing that, and we need the numbers, though. I think a lot of Bahamians would feel better if there was some sort of presentation so we know the numbers exactly where we're at and what we're up against and how we truly stand in our own country.
Where do we get them numbers from? You think we can get the true numbers right now?
Obviously, we need a Freedom of Information Act, and obviously, we need administrations to embrace transparency.
We need it to be enacted.
Well, if it's bad for business, why enact it?
Point.
So
that's the purpose of the bill, so it don't have no bad business.
But at the end of the day, we need it, Pearly. It's a lot of Bahamians. That's the big concern amongst Bahamians right there.
It is.
And you know, this administration better heed what the Bahamian people saying, you know, directly or indirectly, because, you know, they got a way of surprising you when you least expect it.
Or when you expect it.
For real.
Ah.
So you got to make sure, you know, sometimes people see the handwriting on the wall or they read the tea leaves. Sometimes they're trying to, you know, do damage control and make sure the bag full before they get out of Dodge. So I'm keeping an eye on that whole situation.
All right, well, I'll keep my eye open too.
Because if you keep an eye on it, make sure it does not come back to bite us in the butt at the polls. Or long term, because at the end of the day, we can't be displaced as Bahamians in our own country. Can't happen. I mean, charity starts at home, right? And if they're hurting Bahamians, we need to take care of the hurting Bahamians first, right? I think we lost Pearly, or he muted himself.
Yeah, he should. Hey, lose me, man. Relax.
But Trey kicked him in the shin.
No. It was right there.
All right. So let's get on to sports, Pearly. And let's talk some sports, because we got lots to talk about. We got some NBA to talk about. We got some NFL to talk about, Major League Baseball to talk about. I'm sure you're going to give us the Dodger report ad nauseam. But let's check out.
Milwaukee owns the Dodgers this year. Then yes, they're 6 years old from the Dodgers. They own the Dodgers.
So we'll embellish on how much they own them. I want you to tell us why you think the Milbers have the Dodgers number. And I want you to break that down for us in detail.
I think that.
Let me just do today in sports history first. I want you to wallow in it a little more and feel a little more uncomfortable before you have to tell us. You're becoming that guy.
I won't tell you two words, but anyway, no problem. Go ahead.
Yankees win.
Yankees still in second place.
Series starts tonight. We'll rain Toronto in as of tonight.
All right. I'm waiting to see.
Today in sports history, brought to you, of course, by Naughty Johnny's. And on this day in 1931, the Reno Racetrack inaugurated the Daily Double in the U.S. So they officially made the daily betting formula at all racetracks. 1957, Althea Gibson became the first black woman to win a major U.S. tennis title when she won the Women's National Clay Court Singles Competition. 1968, Arnold Palmer became the first golfer to make $1 million in career earnings after he tied for second place at the PGA Championships. 1998, Chinese gymnast Sang Lan, 17, was paralyzed after a fall while practicing for the women's vault competition at the Goodwill Games in New York. Spinal surgery 4 days later failed to restore sensation below her upper chest. 2006, Alex Rodriguez of the New York Yankees collected his 2000th career hit and became the youngest player to reach the 450 home run mark. Sports quote of the day, you can become a winner only if you're willing to walk over the edge. Damon Runyon. And that's a wrap on today in sports history, all brought to you, of course, by Naughty Johnny's. And 5:26 p.m. is the time. Pearly, please let us know. As we slide into baseball, what's going on with your Dodgers? Last week, it was my Yankees' turn to lose a bunch of games. Now, this week, it's the Dodgers' turns. What's going on with the Dodgers?
Yeah, I think, we lost three to Milwaukee, then we took two out of three from the Giants, and then come back from the All-Star break in Milwaukee, taking another three from us. We're catching a team that's hot, a team that's fully healthy and hot. That's the first thing there. Second thing is, some of the superstars just not producing right now. Mookie Betts is having his worst season ever.
You've been quiet on Mookie.
He's been, Mookie has had some injuries. You know, he's been out twice with injuries. I'm hoping that, he'll start to get it together. Freddie has not had the best. He's been a slump for the last couple of weeks. Otani has been in a sort of a slump. Otani seems to have turned it around a little bit. We're really missing Max Muncy. I see just how important Max Muncy is, and I like seeing it every day. And then the pitching ain't there yet. We still got waiting on Snell to come back, Trainee to come back, Sasaki to come back, Evan Phillips to come back. So there's a lot of key pitchers out. The Triple-A pitchers, I call them, have been holding their own. They have not been bad. They've been pretty solid. But
that was one thing about the Dodgers. Y'all have the hugest farm system in the history of farm systems.
Yeah. So, it's early. Like I always say, I'd rather have this problem in July than September, October.
Let's go to the phone lines. We got a call. Talking Heads.
Naughty, what's saying?
What's going on?
I see Pearly there, man. Listen, man. First of all, Pearly, y'all got one job. One job. Beat the Brewers, right? Cubs supposed to have the best record in the league right now.
Cubs fan.
And y'all just can't beat
the
Brewers. Your coach, your pitching is trash. Your kitten is trash. Your infield defense, even like it collapsed against the Brewers. What's going on?
Yeah, we did.
What's going on?
Like I said, I'd rather have that problem now than have it later on in the summer.
I understand that. I mean, we want
this baseball. Baseball is a cruel sport.
The Brewers went 10-0 in the last 10 games. With 6 wins against the Dodgers. That's crazy.
We catch a hot, healthy Brewers team. The key, but the Brewers have not had any injuries at all on season yet. But don't worry about that.
We're still tied for first place.
Well, you guys are tied 59-40. No slouch there. That's a great record.
No, second best record in the league. Only Detroit got 60 on us. That's it.
You guys are 32-17 at home, which is impressive. That's where you got to win, and that's where you do win.
We've played a bunch on the road, so particularly in the division road games. So everybody got to be coming to Wrigley later on as it gets a little cooler. So we're going to be okay. We're going to be okay.
You got the Royals. The Royals tonight, right?
Yep. So we're doing
that. I like
that.
Y'all to win that game. If y'all could get around Salvatore Perez and Bobby Witt, y'all beat the Royals.
Well, listen, man. I don't think the Royals are going to hold much of a challenge for us. I think we're ready. We're playing well. And I think that the younger players are rounding in pretty well. I love where the pitcher is. And I love the fact that we're in games. That's the key. We're in games. You know?
Yeah.
We're not going in and getting blown out in the first three innings. So it puts us in a good competitive spot. Now, you know, training camp began today.
Yeah, so, I got a question for you before we even get into that.
Go ahead.
What's the status on Rashee Rice? What's that suspension going to look like, Big Chief? I need to know for fantasy purposes.
So I think what they're going to do is they're going to give him two games since people got hurt, but nobody died. They'll probably arbitrate that down to the Players Association down to one, particularly now that the Players Association is going to have a new director who's going to come out to be aggressive after it's been shown that the former director was colluding with the league. He probably gets one preseason, one regular season game. The courts have already said that he can serve the time, the 30 days, outside of the season anytime within 5 years. So, obviously, he's paid the restitution. No one's calling for his head. So, I see him maybe missing a game, maybe two. That's it. But, you know, everybody can be back. Xavier's back. Marquise Hollywood Brown is back. Everybody's coming back solid. We've strengthened up that offensive line. I mean, honestly, and Mahomes is pissed. I'm telling you, I'm on these KC chat groups. I'm on these KC podcast. That dude is absolutely incensed. And you saw what he did the last time he got mad when people questioned him. He just ran off two straight Super Bowls. So I think this is our year. They're talking about 11.5 overall wins. I think whoever's doing that number is... I mean, got to get their head checked, all right? We were supposed to be rebuilding last year, and we went 15-1 really in the games. We were trying to win. We didn't try to win the last game. So I suspect we're looking at a 14-15 game season this year. We're going to take out the AFC West as usual, take them in the back and give them the usual beat we give them. Go perfect in that division, right? For some reason, every year, the league wants us to play Buffalo, and every year they want us to play Buffalo where? In Buffalo. But nobody says anything about cheating when it comes to that. Why is it that every regular season game we play Buffalo in is in Buffalo? Why can't they ever come to Kansas City? See, it's in the playoffs.
Chief. You know? Plenty of people picking Denver to win that division.
Yeah. Plenty of people picking some other things in national politics, too, and they can get surprised. So don't worry about that. All right? All picking mean is that you got more fingers than brains. So
no, I with you on that, Big Chief. I don't think Denver wins that division this year. I think they're a playoff team, but I don't think they win that division.
Let's be clear about this. Mahomes has lost two total games in seven seasons in the AFC West.
The thing about it is Mahomes and Reid know that the way to another Super Bowl is to secure the home field advantage throughout the playoffs. And the first step to doing that has been in the division.
We're going to beat them like ghost skin drums on Boxing Day morning. All right? Anyway, but that's done. That's over. All right? That's over. We played a hell of a schedule last year. We ran the gauntlet last year, the first five games. Right? And we still came up playing. We're going to be ready. We're going to be ready to go. And more worried now to see what's going to happen with my dogs. You know,
I was just about to say what's going on with your dogs because I don't hear many good things about your dogs.
Coming. He got the starting job, right? This is a kid that came out on halftime and beat the vaunted Texas Longhorns with no practice at all, right? And then lost a bunch of players and we ended up having to do something different against Notre Dame. I mean, we were just outskilled and outgunned in that game. Nothing we could do but that. So I'm eager to see what he's doing. We rebuilt the line. We've gotten some more receivers. A linebacking core is going to be beast mode. I'm telling you, ain't nobody rushing on us this year. Nobody. And if you're trying to bring a tight end out of the flat on us, that dude's going to get crowned. So I'm looking to see what happens. We got some big games. We got Bama coming in. We got some big games on the road. Georgia, Florida is going to be Halloween weekend again. I'll be down there. It's going to be the last time in Jacksonville, at least for 4 years, because they're rebuilding the stadium. After that, the game's going to go between between Orlando and Atlanta. So it's going to be interesting here in the SEC. They're all picking Arch Manning to take it. And I keep saying, the guy looks good on tape. He looks good on tape. But I've seen him in games, and he does not impress me. He does not impress me. He didn't look better than Carson last year, and Carson almost gave me a headache every single game. So I don't trust their coach. I don't trust their line. I don't trust any quarterback named Manning playing quarterback in the SEC. They've all proven that they can't win, and both of his uncles were better than him, and couldn't win an SEC title. So.
Arch
Manning is the one, man.
Listen,
man,
as long as Alabama
don't
win, I good.
Alabama's time is moved on. That coach don't normally. They've lost recruits to us over and over again this year. And Texas coming in and recruiting in the SEC backyard has hurt them more than us. We've kept our guys, you know. In the end, you know, I think losing Carson to Miami was a good thing for us. He did his time, man. He just never showed up for big games. He just did, you know. And that's the one thing you can't. College football, the intangibles come out more there, because you look at a guy like him, and you look at a guy like Stetson. Stetson should have never won two back-to-back titles. There's nothing in Stetson's deliverables to tell you this is a guy that's going to take an SEC team to two back championships, and he did it. Everything Carson had said that he would do it, and he couldn't do it. College is where you figure out where to put the car.
There's a certain sportscaster that said that is why they play the game.
We'll see what happens, man. But Naughty.
So you're telling me Arch Manning is overhyped?
I mean, he's the Manning, so of course he's overhyped. That's what they do. All right. I mean, you have the family on broadcast on every show and everything else. That's the nature of what they do with that family, and that's how they make money. I got no problems with that. Listen, if my name was Manning, I'd be doing the same thing. You know what I'm saying? But at the end of the day, you can't point to me anything he's done, any school or in college, that says he is the next coming of a team. Nothing. Nothing.
Okay.
All right? There's a guy playing in Oregon right now who was in Michigan State. All right? He's better than him. Okay?
Yeah.
And so you've got to go and check some things out. If you follow high school football the way we do, you'll understand that you know, I mean, these are just all, it's who gets the big name and who gets the big hype. But that's why them college games are critical to watch. Watch where they go to school. Watch who they play. All right? There's a reason why Zach Wilson is a bum. Okay? You can't play at BYU and then come out and play in the big leagues. It just doesn't happen.
Not too many dogs in that BYU schedule.
No.
Mountain West Conference.
Listen, 20 years ago, maybe, when they were playing some of the bigger teams in the original Big 12. But now you're playing on the rock.
Yeah.
Come on. I mean, these are the things so real people who talk real sports understand this stuff, and the folk who just only turn on the ESPN and listen to Howard, they're the ones who just get the fluff stuff, because no one's going to talk about a guy who's a 15-year-old playing in South Dakota, right? Unless he has a popular family. But those are where you get the Ben Roethlisbergers from. Those are where you get the Patrick Mahomes from. But nobody talks about him coming out of high school. You know what I'm saying?
I'm locked down.
I'm definitely going to the Cowboys game. Cowboys Chiefs Thanksgiving. One of my Masonic brothers actually has a place in Dallas. Him and his wife are going up there because they're going for treatment. They're going for the Eagles game the previous Sunday. I'm going to come in there, get to that game on Thursday, get down to the Saturday night game for Georgia Tech in Atlanta. So that's going to be my gift to me this year.
Good stuff, man. And I'm sure you'll keep us posted.
I might even let y'all use me as a consultant for free.
There you go, man. We ain't got $60 million to pay you, so, yeah, you know that.
All right, brothers. Y'all take it easy, man.
Take care, man. Y'all be safe, man. Good stuff.
Listen. One of these days, we got to get you back on to talk about this, the marijuana commission. I hear some things dragging.
Whenever you're ready. They just had the marijuana cancer conference in Trinidad last week, right? Nobody from the authority here went. How's that?
Wow. Yeah, we need to talk, Doc. Be safe.
Yeah,
good talk soon.
Hey, bro.
Yep, we'll get Doc back on. Let's get to the other call. Talking heads. All right. You got to call us back, caller.
Hello. Hey, brothers. What's going on?
Hey, what's going on, Muff?
Hey, Muff.
What happened to producers? What no producers answering the next line? But I want to say something quick and ask you and put these questions and like hang up and like listen. The Marlins manager named Clayton McCollum, and who come from the Dodgers. And what you guys think about the WNBA All-Star on the 4-point shot? And then you see Dan, right? And then the question like hang up and like and then this one. Did game time go back to Portland? Huh?
That's the only win the Miami Heat had for a while.
Don't try that, mate. Don't try that. We made the championship in the 2000. The same time go back to Portland. Damian Lillard.
Yes.
Did he go back to Portland?
Yes.
Yeah, he did go back to Portland.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah.
He was in Portland, so it was a no-brainer for him to return there.
Yeah. All right, well, what do y'all think with the WNBA All-Star? I hang up and listen.
I thought they had a pretty good weekend. I thought it was nice.
Yeah, I like the shirts. They said, you know, pair us with Joe. Caitlin Clark's Cam didn't want to wear the shirt initially, but she was talked into it by, I guess, the rest of the All-Stars there. And they showed unity with that. They had a good three-point shootout. I think Ian Nesco won that. And the four-point shot, I think they should add that to the NBA, to tell you the truth.
I know about that.
For certain things, for the All-Star game, it would not. Not maybe for the playoffs or regular season, but for the All-Star game.
Let me tell you why I don't like it for the NBA. Right now, everybody in the NBA think they can hit the tree. You imagine putting a four-point shot there now?
This is true, bro.
You don't see that creativity. That's why I as a Laker fan, I still like watching SGA because he's a mid-range shooter. And he believe in going to the bucket. And I believe in that. You don't see that much in the NBA now. So they introduce a four-point shot? Oh, my goodness. Everybody might be able to try and hit three-pointers as soon as they come across the four-point, as soon as they come across the half-court line.
This is true. Let me get to these texts real quick, Pearly, so we can get to the picks. Because I know we got Rich Eisen taking us home today. And Rich Eisen says that the AFC North is going to be the most exciting division in football this year. So let's see. Yeah, I don't know what Rich on.
That's Baltimore, Pittsburgh, Cleveland. That's what that is in that division, right?
Yeah, I don't know what Rich on. Let's see what Rich saying, though. Good evening, Naughty and Pearly. When the pinstripe was in a slide, mums was the word from that deep fryer guy. But he went to Minnesota. I think the Dodgers electric slide will continue tonight.
You know what, Jeff?
How we call you the fryer guy. Jeff, great name, fryer guy. I love that.
Come relax. It'll be all right. But I'll tell him I'll be putting a Cornish game hen in the fryer today.
On another note, Naughty and Pearly, your earlier callers, give us the number of tourist entries for the last year and compare to numbers gone out on flights past year. Probably 100 countries, 100 in-country, 10 out. Why are people fired up on immigration, Pearly? I'm telling you. Naughty town, Pearly. Denver Broncos all day, every day.
I have some friends who will be saying the same thing.
Naughty and Pearly, check Fred for the Haitians not going back. Oh, Lord, what is this? All right, let's get into these picks, Pearly, so we could wrap. And Rich Eisen taking us home with the final 10 today. And
just baseball today, eh?
Just baseball today. No WNBA today. Baseball only today.
Yeah, I think WNBA, I think they're back tomorrow.
Bro, it's a ton of games, so we got to go quick on this one. Here we go. Orioles, Guardians. I like the Guardians at home.
I like the Guardians at home.
Tigers and the Pirates. I like the Tigers.
I like the Tigers, yeah.
Padres and the Marlins. Give me the Padres and that one, even though they're on the road.
Marlins been playing some funny ball, and Vasquez ain't been looking that good for the Padres. I'm going to pick the Marlins tonight at home.
All right, here we go. Red Sox and Phillies. Give me the Phillies in the city of brotherly love at home.
Walker Buehler for the Red Sox tonight. Wheeler. All right, I go to Phillies.
And I only go because the Phillies at home. The Red Sox could win this game, but I like the Phillies.
At home, yeah.
The Reds and the Nationals. Give me the Reds in this one. I think Dela Cruz goes deep.
This should be a good game. Two pitchers with 7 wins, and Singer and Irvin. I can go with the Reds as well.
Yankees and the Blue Jays. The Yankees get it right. They got Rondon going tonight. Let's go with the Yankees over the Blue Jays on the road.
The Yankees are favorite tonight. Blue Jays at home. Just a pick 'em, but you know what? I can ride with you.
Angels and the Mets. I like the Mets at home in this one, even though the Angels have been playing some sneaky good ball, creeping in around that wild card.
Singer pitching tonight for the Mets. Singer got like a 1.39 ERA,
correct,
right?
He's a beast. Giants on the road against the Braves. I think I'm going to go at the Giants in this one.
Braves are playing good ball. They lost to the Yankees. They lost to the Yankees.
I can go with the Braves. I can go with the Giants. White Sox on the road against the Tampa Bay Rays. The Rays are playing some sneaky good ball. I like the Rays at home in this one.
I like do I like the Rays tonight? Yeah, I like the Rays tonight. Everybody's beat up on the White Sox, man.
Athletics and the Rangers. I'm going to take the Rangers at home.
Lighter pitching for the Rangers tonight. Lopez. I'll go with Lighter tonight. I'll take the Rangers.
Royals on the road against the Cubs. I like the Cubs to win this one tonight.
Cubs playing off the chain ball and Brazier pitching tonight. Let's go. I'll take the Cubs.
Cardinals and the Rockies. The Rockies suck. I'm going to take the Cardinals.
Everybody beating the Rockies. I like the Cardinals too.
Houston Astros and Arizona Diamondbacks. Give me the Astros on the road in this one. I like them in the upset.
Okay.
But pitching matchup on the road.
I'm going to ride with the Diamondbacks. Gillen pitching for them. I'll ride with the Diamondbacks tonight.
All right, the Brewers against the Mariners. These two good teams, good records, playing well. But I got to go with the Brewers. They're a harder team.
I'm going to say two words to the Brewers. I don't like what they did to me. I'm going to ride with the Mariners at home tonight.
Dodgers, who's on the mound for the Dodgers tonight?
Otani starting tonight. He probably pitched 3 or 4 innings.
Give me the Dodgers over the Twins in that one.
Yeah, we need a win. So I think we make a comeback. I seem to think the Dodgers make a big comeback tonight.
Up early. All right, we're going to get to the break.
Change in the lineup. I don't know if he's going to go with that again, but he's moved Mookie to lead off and put Otani to second. And it seemed he put up some runs last night. Is this the pitching? The Milwaukee didn't kill us. They just one run here, one run there. They just pick all game.
Death by 1,000 cuts.
Yeah.
Not one big blow.
Exactly.
All right, Freddie, good stuff. We'll do it again tomorrow, man. And we'll take a quick break. Flip side of the break. Rich Eisen taking us home. And he'll let you know why the AFC North is going to be the most exciting division in football next season. He uses the word fascinating.
Mm-hmm. Okay, interesting.
I think he's talking about the Steelers, the Browns, the Bengals.
He's one of them. Like Big Chief said earlier, he's one of them on that hype, on that Aaron Rodgers hype. And they can see why they shouldn't assign Aaron Rodgers this year.
But I mean, you look at that division, the Bengals got issues, the Browns got issues, Pittsburgh got issues. Baltimore is the only one that's worth a darn in that division.
I think so. But we'll see.
Well, we'll see about it, man. We'll talk later, man. Good stuff, Pearly. We'll do it again tomorrow, man. Good stuff, everybody who texted in, called in, chimed in. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Talking Heads. Rich Eisen taking us home on the flip side of the break. Don't touch it.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
Craving something bold, fresh, and unforgettable? Tropical Gyros is your flavor-packed escape, a Carib-Greek fusion born right here from juicy grilled salmon, chicken, and pork gyros to loaded bowls, fresh salads, wings, and more. There's something for every craving. Find Tropical Gyros at any of their locations, JFK Plaza, Rosetta Street, Port Lucaya Freeport, or their franchise spots on Prince Charles Drive,
Soldier Road West, Delaporte, and Carmichael Road. Tropical Gyros, not just good food, it's an experience.
If you set people's teeth on edge every time you step on the brakes, it's time you visit Muffler World on Mackey Street. They can take your brake rotors off, and if there's anything left, machine them shiny. Then their technicians will install new pads, and before you know it, you'll be able to stop without people calling social service on you. Muffler World can replace the whole package, including hoses, master cylinders, and more. For first-class brake work, stop by Muffler World on Mackey Street. Open Saturdays, 8 till noon.
Cancer Treatment Centers of America is now City of Hope, creating one of the leading cancer care and research networks from coast to coast, providing more of what you need. More locations means more care closer to home. More specialists means more expertise, which means more breakthroughs. More advancements means more treatment options. And more options means more hope. Learn more at cancercenter.com.
He is the king of crunch, the master of flavor, and he's going to set your taste buds on fire with the new King Crunch sandwiches at Burger King Nassau. Crispy fried onions, pepper jack cheese, and bold chipotle sauce. Plus, fixins cover a crispy chicken patty or two flame grilled beef patties on BK's new King Crunch sandwiches that are bigger, better, and bolder than anything around. And they're only available at Burger King Nassau. Try one today.
So now that we're here, training camps are opening all over the place, and Tuesday is going to be that day where most of them hit it. And so many storylines. But I'm going to christen, if you will, one division as the most fascinating division in the National Football League. Now, the AFC West is up there. Pete Carroll's now joined the Raiders organization. Sean Payton's got the Broncos on the move after making the playoffs, right? Chargers made the playoffs in Jim Harbaugh's first year. And then you got the Chiefs sitting there. And the Chargers and the Chiefs face each other on the first Friday night of the season on YouTube.
Oh, it's going to be awesome.
Right, in Brazil. You know? And then, of course, you've got the NFC East and NBC, you know, between the Cowboys and the Eagles and the Commanders and the Eagles were the two teams to finish up the NFC season last year. And then you got the Giants. Who knows what they're going to do with Jackson Dart, and their defense is going to be really good. They might have to win games 13-10 for a while, but we'll see if they can do it, right? The NFC North, what about the Lions? After being the one seed and one and done, they lost both of their coordinators. Everybody thinks, well, that's the way that one went. See you later. The Bears have a new head coach. One of the coordinators from the Lions is now on the sidelines for the Chicago Bears. And, you know, Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams. How's that going to work? And you got the Packers and the Vikings. 14 wins last year with Sam Darnold. They're going to go with J.J. McCarthy. That's pretty fascinating. The AFC East, Aaron Glenn is the other coordinator that the Lions lost. Can the Jets be improved with a Patriots team that's improved and the Dolphins trying to get to the playoffs and win a playoff game? And then you've got the Bills as fascinating as ever. And I'll just tell you right now, the most fascinating division in the NFL, I christen it the AFC North. Who's going to be the Browns quarterback, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's truly, I would think, story number one going into the training camp season is the Browns quarterback.
In all of the NFL?
In terms of what training camp will yield, I think. You make an argument on others, I guess, but training camp will yield. Who is going to be the quarterback of the Cleveland Browns, right? And then you've got the Cincinnati Bengals. There is a latest. You seen this?
I have.
You want to go for it, Chris? Because the Bengals, let me get this straight. The veterans will report tomorrow. The rookies have been there since July 19th, last week. And guess what? Trey Hendrickson is not expected to show up tomorrow. Will he or will he not? And Mike Brown, the owner of the Cincinnati Bengals, is chiming in on all this. Go ahead and hit it.
We have people back in our office who are sharpening their pencils and trying to figure that out as I speak here. It's been a long negotiation. Trey Henderson is a fine player. He's a good guy. We want him here. Dealing with him is sometimes not so easy. That's all right. He's got the right to argue his case. We'll try to make sense of it from our perspective. And we'll see. As far as I'm concerned, the sooner the better.
All right. That was the owner, Mike Brown. We got that soundbite from one of the many people there that I guess didn't attach a lav microphone as lapel right there.
I was just going to say he needed a couple more lav mics.
Thinks Duke, he's going to get a deal done, though.
Duke Tobin, the general manager, called Trey an important part of our team. He's under contract, and we expect him to be here. But then he added, he's a guy who's been very valuable. He's earned a raise and extension. We'll see if we can come together on something. Once again, he turns 31 on the 5th of December. He made $16 million. He's said he makes $16 million in the last year of his contract. And that ain't it. We know that. He has earned a raise and an extension. I mean, George Karlaftis of the Chiefs, who's younger, but... and has had a ton of production. He just signed with the Chiefs for $23 million per. So it's somewhere between that and T.J. Watt.
Yep, get it done.
We'll talk about in a second. But again, Mike Del Tufo, I think you have that soundbite. We'll know when Trey Hendrickson is signed because we'll hear the wallet opening up in Cincinnati, Ohio. I believe that wallet was in the back of Mike Brown's.
That's why he looked a little lopsided.
That was right. Yeah, he's wearing the Costanza.
One cheek was higher.
Velcro wallet on one side.
The fact that Del Tufo just did that originally by pulling the Velcro on his hat. Genius.
No, maybe
both.
I have a metal wallet now.
All good. So, because if Trey Hendrickson comes back and that defense can, let's just slice a touchdown off, right? Let's slice a touchdown.
Season's different for them if they were able to do that.
Last we saw the Cincinnati Bengals, previously in Bengals football, they were the team nobody wanted to see in the AFC playoffs, unless you're a Bengal fan. You know? And, you know, Al Golden is their new defensive coordinator. See if he can bring some magic to that mix.
Yeah, I mean, they gave up almost 26 points a game.
I forget what the stat is, but they lost 5 games when they scored more than 35 points.
Dude. And I think Chase Brown's going to have a massive year. Massive. Because they're not going to mess around with somebody else in the first half of the season. Dude.
It's fantasy wise.
Oh, you want Chase Brown.
Don't Chris, don't put that out there too loud, Rich.
Last year, he could be kept on the DL. Okay? Because everybody's like, Zach Moss this, Zach Moss that. Nope. Not this year, pal. He's going to come out the gate.
Yeah, I just
as he did multiple times.
I need people to sleep on him. A little bit.
And they did the right thing. They kept T. Higgins. All good. Then you got the Ravens, right? Who have just maybe the best offensive line in football. You got your two tight ends. You got DeAndre Hopkins now to this mix.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, the wide receiving core, let's get Zay Flowers healthy, right? We got him going.
Yep.
Okay. And Lamar Henry. And defensively, be even better. They can be. And just roll it all downhill again. They could easily be the one seed in the AFC. Yep. Will Lamar Jackson get to the Super Bowl? Can he get to the Super Bowl? For the Baltimore Ravens and obviously himself. As fascinating as they come, and do you have the Ravens' schedule? Would you mind popping that up, Hoskins? I know that we did not plan for this, but it's just, you want to talk about difficulty and must-see television and must-see games. It's just chock full of them. Sunday night football, they're at Buffalo to start, okay? And that's the revenge game because, you know, the Bills ended the Ravens season last year.
It's Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.